We all know and believe that Jesus will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. We say those words every Sunday when we recite the Nicene Creed. But perhaps we haven't really thought deep enough about what those words really mean. For instance, we know that God is infinitely merciful. I would venture to say, just assume God's going to be merciful to us. We take it for granted. But in today's gospel, Jesus welcomes some people into his eternal kingdom, but others go off to eternal punishment. And it's hard for us to understand how can God's mercy, if he's all merciful, go along with eternal punishment. But today's gospel really kind of spells that out, because when Jesus addresses the first group of people, the ones coming into heaven, entering heaven, he says to them, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father." So they've been blessed by the Father. But when he addresses the second group, the ones entering eternal punishment, he says to them, "Depart from me, you accursed." They have been cursed, not blessed. And notice, and really I want to say they bring that curse upon themselves. And notice how the blessing received by the first group, it came from God. But the curse by the second group that did not do for Jesus, they are accursed. Because the second group purposefully and freely chose to live their life entirely for themselves. They are the ones who chose that for themselves. They didn't enter into friendship with God because they didn't want to have to follow Christ and his way of life that goes with it. They resisted and rejected God's many invitations to follow him, the voice of conscience, the teachings of the church, the example of other believers, the lives of the saints, the beauties of creation, all those things that constantly draw us to God and closer to God. And they freely chose to live separate from God. That was their decision. And now, after living lives like that, would it be merciful for God to force them to spend eternity in his presence when they have rejected him their whole life? The thing is this: hell is not God's creation. It is the creation of those who freely and consistently choose to live without God. You know, for most of the Christian Middle Ages and the Renaissance, the Last Judgment was a common theme in art and architecture. Over the main entrance of churches and cathedrals on the inside wall was usually a painting or a sculpture of the Last Judgment. And so as they're leaving Mass on Sundays, everyone in church would take a look at that and realize that their long-term goal for life on this earth was to get to eternal life. Ultimately, that is our true home, is heaven. Well, there was a monk that lived in Palestine in the 6th century, and after growing in holiness himself, he began a monastery, and he was so good at it that lots of men joined that monastery. So many men did that it was practically like its own city. They had so many monks. But one of the first things that he did, his name was Saint Theodosius, one of the first things he did when he found that his monastery was a bit strange, more than a bit strange, he dug a large grave right in the middle of the monastery, in the cloister, they call it, the outside area. That's what he did. He dug this large grave, and the monks, of course, gathered around and were wondering, okay, what's this about? And so St. Theodosius gave this explanation. He said this: "Here you see a grave. Here we will all one day be buried, and our bodies will return to the dust from which they were made. Remember this, my sons, so that you never stray from the Lord's sure but narrow road of prayer and self-denial. It is better to die to ourselves each day and rise again on the day of judgment than indulge ourselves foolishly now and remain in the grave forever." God has made us out of love to love him and others in ourselves. And Jesus made that way for us. He made that path for us to follow, that is to live in communion with God and not apart from God. He did that so we can find happiness here on this earth, as well as in happiness in the life to come. And by becoming man himself, he took on human nature along with his divine nature when he was on this earth. He has identified himself in every human being. Jesus has made our humanity something unique and holy by becoming man himself. And that is why, Jesus says, that is why Mother Teresa of Calcutta always said, she saw the face of Jesus in the face of others. She saw Jesus in everybody. And so too for us. Whenever we find someone in need, family member, friend, neighbor, stranger, whoever it might be, we are face to face not only with that person, but also with Christ himself. And that's what Jesus meant when he said, "Amen, I say to you, whatever you did or did not do for one of the least of the brothers, these brothers of mine, you did or did not do it for me." And you know, that happens not in some kind of big, gigantic way usually, but in little small acts of kindness of everyday living, making friends with a new kid at school, defending a colleague who always gets bullied, supporting an unwed mother or someone who adopts a child or fosters a child, staying late at work to help a coworker who's behind in a project, or bringing flowers to a relative or friend confined to a hospital bed, or praying with a lonely neighbor. You know, with Christ, these actions are not random acts of kindness. Instead, they take on eternal proportions that determine our eternal life itself. Because hell is not God's creation. It is the creation of those who freely and consistently choose to live without God. Pray that you, me, your children, all of us, make that commitment now to follow Christ, to live on this earth for Christ, so that we can be forever with him in eternal life.